Okay. We're going to go back a little bit. The end of our last session, which was 2 weeks ago, at the very end, I started to rush a little bit and rushed into all kinds of things that, first of all, I think we lost each other. And I certainly lost myself, so I assume that I lost you along the way. And number one, and number two, we actually ran over some issues regarding the dates of bar mitzvahs and yahrzeits, which subsequent to the shir, Chagai asked me some questions which I started to do some research about and discovered all kinds of interesting things. And so I have, for now, come to the realization that I have to revise my charts, and the subject is still under research. So for now, we're going to review that a little bit and a little bit more in depth. So my goal for tonight is to focus specifically on the question, this part of the presentation, which is the practical side, namely anniversaries and yahrzeits and birthdays, which we're going to review. And we got stuck in the middle of the sidrot, which parshiot to combine, which parshiot are separate. That's what we're going to pick up. And then, time permitting, I would like to start the discussion of the tkufot, the solar calculations, and birkas acham. That's my goal for this evening. We may or may not finish the issue of Birkas HaChama tonight. If not, then we have, of course, next week, which will be our last week. And by then, for sure, we will get to the issue of Birkas HaChama with we neder, so we should be okay. So, where are we going to start? This you've seen. This is, and the charts that you have now are mostly revised. There's one mistake in them, and you'll see the you'll correct it manually. But the problems that we are to consider, as we said, was specifically Adar Aleph versus Adar Bet, as well as the 30th of Cheshvan and the 30th of Kislev, as they apply to birthdays, yahrzeits, specifically bar mitzvahs. And the issue, of course, is that you have a day in the calendar that doesn't appear every day of the year. The 30th of Cheshvan, the 30th of any given month, specifically Cheshvan and Kislev. Some years have and some years don't. In years that have it, 30th of Cheshvan and the 30th of Kislev is also the first day of Rosh Chodesh of the following month. So the 30th of Cheshvan is also the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The 30th of Kislev is also the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tevet. So there's always two ways to look at every day of two ways to look at these dates, and therefore two ways to calculate whether or not the birthday is the last day of Shvat, last day of Cheshvan, let's say, or is it Rosh Chodesh Kislev? First day of Rosh Chodesh, second day of Rosh Chodesh. Similarly with Adar. Similarly with Kislev. Adar becomes more complicated because you have two variables to worry about. The first variable is which is the real Adar, Adar Aleph or Adar Bet. The second variable is Adar Aleph has 30 days and Adar Bet and a regular Adar has 29 days. So in addition to the variable of Adar Aleph as a whole, you have the question of the status of the 30th of Adar Aleph, which doesn't exist in a leap year, but it has no corresponding Adar date. There is no 30th of Adar. So that creates a double question. And that's where things got a little bit hairy last 2 weeks ago. So we're going to go back to that. What I decided this time to do is first to give you the primary sources. So these are, there are two sources that are in Or HaChaim. There's an additional source in Yeradeh with regards to the halachas of yahrzeit. These are the primary sources for the discussion around the date anomaly. Forgive me, they're in Hebrew. I didn't have a chance to translate them. I will translate them for you. You have them, the text, in your source booklet, if you can read it that small. In Siman Tavkuf Samach Chet, the discussion is with regards to Hilchos Avelos or Yahrzeit. What is the status of a Yahrzeit? There are two cases here. One for Yahrzeit, one for birthdays. And we'll come to both of them. With regards to Yahrzeit, Kishe'ira Yom Shemet Aviv O Imo Ba'Adar, if the Yahrzeit of a parent is in the month of Adar, Ve'ashana Me'uberet, in a leap year, It'aneh b'adar bet. you should make the leap year in Adar Bet, which, if you remember from our discussion last week, is not what I told you, and that's because what I told you is Minhag Ashkenaz, based on the Ramah. That is the Mechaber and defines Minhag of the Sephardic community. The Ramah says the following, V'yeshomim dit aneh barishon. Others say that the proper, now, why is it Yitaneh? Why is it fasting? Because the original, this is a side issue, nothing to do with calendars. The original minhag of a yahrzeit was a personal commitment to fast every year on the day of the death of a parent. That's where the minhag of yahrzeit comes from. It was a minhag of a personal commitment to fast. That's why all the laws of yahrzeit are derived from the laws of nedarim, of oaths. Remember last session I talked about this notion of whatever the first yahrzeit is in the first year, because you commit yourself to that practice. That was the Magen Avraham. We'll come back to it in a little while. That's because the laws of Nedarim play a critical factor in yahrzeits, because the original yahrzeit was simply a commitment to fast. Over the course of time, other minhagim developed, yahrzeit, Kaddish, davening for the Amud, etc. And then, of course, the original minhag got lost. People don't fast anymore. But all of these additional things that set in place, like an aliyah to the Torah, like davening for the Amud, like Kaddish, remained. And what I always find fascinating, and this has nothing to do with our course, but since we're on the discussion, I'll throw out one of my peeves anyway. What I always find fascinating is that the original context of a yahrzeit, which was a personal commitment to fast, is exactly that. It was a personal commitment. It was a concept of an obligation, a responsibility. Every component of the yahrzeit custom today is an entitlement. I'm entitled, I'm a chiyuv, I'm entitled to an aliyah, entitled to daven for the amid, entitled to get a kaddish of the kaddish when they used to divide up the kaddish amongst the people. So we've transformed the kaddish from a responsibility and obligation into an entitlement, which is the exact opposite of what the yahrzeit was supposed to be. So I don't know any way to reverse that, but it's just a fact of history. Okay, I got that off my chest, thank you. I feel better already. V'yeshomim di'it aneh barishon. The one custom of Marimins had the notion of the yahrzeit on the Adar Aleph, im lo shemet b'shanat ha'ibur ba'adar sheni, unless, of course, the actual death occurred in Adar Sheni. And then, of course, the yahrzeit is in Adar Sheni. V'chein ha'minhag litanot barishon. And that's the minhag, says the Ramah, Ashkenazic custom, that we do the yahrzeit in Adar Aleph. The Mechaber says yahrzeit in Adar Bet, because everything is in Adar Bet. Adar Bet is the primary Adar. Ramah says, no, with yahrzeit, it's Adar Aleph. V'chein ha-minhag litanot barishon, miyu yesh machmirim litanot bishnehem. Some have the custom to fast on both days in order to avoid the suffix. I don't have it here, but the Mishnah Berurah says, and he quotes the Magen Avraham, that says that if you have such a minhag to fast on both days, don't think for a minute that means you're entitled to two aliyot, to two kadeshim, or to two entitlements for those 2 days. The obligation, the commitment, the personal, you want to fast for 2 days because it's the hate, but don't come to the gabbai and say, I'm entitled to two aliyahs. Again, reflecting the distortion of how we have reversed the concept of a yahrzeit. Now, here's the case that we are dealing with. What happens if the yahrzeit is on the 30th of Adar Aleph? That's the famous case. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and this is for yahrzeit. We'll get to bar mitzvahs in a moment. It anele shana ba'a shaita shana pshuta biyom aleph to Ashchodesh Adar. Then the yahrzeit should be also on the first day of Ashchodesh Adar, even though it's Adar Aleph. Velo bechavtet bo. And not on the 29th. In other words, he shouldn't say that the first day of Yom Lamed Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni is the day before Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. So you might say that since Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet is equivalent to Rosh Chodesh Adar in a regular year, then the day before, Lamed Adar Aleph is the day before, right? Sorry, is the last day of Adar. Let's put it that way. Lamed Rosh Chodesh, Lamed Adar Aleph is the last day of Adar. So you might think that in a regular year, you should therefore observe the Yahrzeit on the last day of Adar, which in this case would be the 29th. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no. That in fact, it's Yom Aleph to Rosh Chodesh Adar. You go back to the beginning of Adar Aleph, which is the 30th of Shvat. Deliolam Adar Shoshana Pshuta Omed Tachat Adar Sheni Shoshana Muberet. That's the rule, and that's the rule that applies across the board. Adar Sheni is the primary Adar. Will the real Adar stand? Please stand up. It is Adar Sheni. And therefore, for Yahrzeits, if the Yahrzeit was on Lamed Adar Aleph, Lamed Adar Aleph is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, of the second Adar. And therefore, the Yahrzeit is on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. In this case, Adar, the only Adar, and therefore the 30th of Shvat. That's the Mishnah Berurah with regards to Yahrzeits. Get to Bar Mitzvahs in a moment. Yes. The Ramah, oh, that's interesting. So yes, that's the reason the Machaber says that the Yahrzeit's in the second Adar. The rationale for the Ramah's psak that the Yahrzeit's in the first Adar is a different one. And that is, I think I mentioned that last time, I don't remember, and that is the idea that they both share the same date name. Adar Aleph, Adar Bet, they both share the same name. And even though the second Adar is the primary one, nonetheless, the notion of they both share the name of Adar, and therefore the notion that you could get to the date that has the name Adar, let's say the Yahrzeit was on the 12th of Adar on a regular year. You get to the 12th of Adar Aleph. How can you let the 12th of Adar Aleph go by and not consider it a Yahrzeit? It's like to ignore the Aleph Kibbut Av'em. It's to ignore the Yom HaPetira, or at least the date of the Yom HaPetira. And therefore, in that case, you work the Yahrzeit on the first Adar, although the minhag is, according to some, to fast on both days. But it has to do with specifically a characteristic of Yahrzeits, and that's why it's different from birthdays. Well, birthdays, bar mitzvahs is the same issue. Now, the bar mitzvah case, yeah?
Going back to the Yahrzeit, so if the parent was nifter on the 30th of Adar Rishon, next year is the regular year.
Right.
So then Rosh Chodesh is the
Aleph Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Okay. Then since that's the Kavua, then.
No, forget the Kavua. Kavua is only with Lamed Cheshvan Kislev.
Oh, okay. So the next time it's a leap
day. Yeah, you would go back to the right day.
Okay.
Now, this, which is the birthday case, the bar mitzvah case, this is a very famous Shulchan Aruch, because this is where the Shulchan Aruch describes a scenario where the younger child has his bar mitzvah before the older child. Everybody knows this case, except that the way the Shulchan Aruch describes it, it creates a gaping hole. And it's that hole that we fell into last 2 weeks ago, and I want to thank the guy for prompting me to do a little bit of further research on this topic. It led me to some very interesting things. The story in the Shulchan Aruch is as follows. Imna echad nolad b'chavtet la'adar rishon. First child is born on the 29th of Adar Aleph. V'nar echad nolad b'adar sheni b'echad bo. The second is born on the first of Adar. So one child is born on the 29th of Adar Aleph, and the second child is born on the first of Adar Bet. So they're 2 days later. In other words, he's giving you what is probably the most extreme case. V'shanat yud gimel eina mu'uberet, oto shenolad b'chavtet la'adar harishon tzarich lahamtin ad chavtet la'adar b'shanat yud gimel, liot bar mitzvah ben yud gimel shana. The one born on the 29th of Adar Aleph will have his bar mitzvah on the 29th of Adar. In other words, the two Adars converge. So now, all the birthdays of Adar Aleph and Adar Bet are on Adar Pshuta. The 29th of Adar Aleph becomes the 29th of Adar. And the first of Adar Aleph becomes of Adar Bet becomes the first of Adar. So therefore, ואותו שנולד אחריו באחד באדר השני יהיה בן י"ג שנה, כיוון שהגיע אחד באדר של שנת י"ג. That is the famous case in the Shulchan Aruch of two children born 2 days apart. The younger child is going to have his bar mitzvah a full month earlier than the older child. Okay? Now, the Ramah simply adds a caveat that if the bar mitzvah is in a leap year, then of course the dates correspond to the original dates of the leap year birth order. The question that the poskim raise, and I found a tshuva both in, the main tshuva I found is in the Minchas Yitzchok. The question that the poskim raise is, there's a case missing in the Shulchan Aruch. And the case that's missing is the 30th of Adar Aleph. The 30th of Adar Aleph, you see, in the case of the Mechaber describes, this doesn't work with twins. This will never work with twins. Right? Because twins, you can't have the 29th and the 1st with twins. And there's no other scenario. However, in the case of the 30th of Adar Aleph, the 30th of Adar Aleph could conceivably create a problem vis-a-vis twins. If you have two children born, one before Shkia and one after Shkia, the 30th of Adar Aleph is this no man's land. What do you do with it? Well, so that's the scenario. On the one hand, it's considered Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, Adar. On the other hand, it's considered Adar, the last day of the month before Adar. If Adar Bet, or let's do it the other way around, it's considered the last day of, how did I get to Aleph and Nisan? I got the Aleph.
Because
it's the end of, well, if you consider Adar Aleph the primary Adar, which we don't, we consider the second Adar the primary Adar. I don't remember how I got the Aleph Nisan. But be that as it may, it creates a suffix. I'll show you what we do with that suffix in a moment. Let me skip this slide. I'll come back to it, since we're already talking about Adar. Okay, so based on the scenario that I just painted, the story ends up being as follows with regards to birthdays and yahrzeits. With regards to Adar, a leap year, we'll come back to Cheshvan Kislev in a minute. If the event occurred on a simple year and now we're going to a leap year, so that was the first case that I showed you. So yahrzeits are, according to the Ramah, are in Adar Aleph, and Bar Mitzvahs are in Adar Bet, because Adar Bet is always the primary Adar, and so the yahrzeits are, so the Bar Mitzvahs are in Adar Bet. However, yahrzeits, we move to the first Adar because of the cheshbon of not letting the date pass without commemorating the yahrzeit that I showed you. The scenario of if the event occurred in a Adar Aleph, and now the Bar Mitzvah Yahrzeit is in a simple simple year, that's a little more complicated. And of course, there are three options here. The case of Lamed Adar Aleph is the problematic one. And according to the Minchas Yitzchak, Hitaka says that the Bar Mitzvah would be on the 30th of Shvat, which is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now, I said last week it was the first of Nisan, and I was looking for where I had taken that from. I had taken it from a source, and I couldn't find it. But the rationale that he gives for this actually, and Chagai, in your email to me, you talked a little bit about the issue of tefillin. And I looked for that. I couldn't find it. In all of the discussions in the Tshuvot, I found the Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, I found the Tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, there's no discussion about tefillin. The discussion is about the status of the 30th of Adar Aleph of the 30th of Adar Aleph, and since the 30th of Adar Aleph is Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet, in a regular year, they considered the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, which in this case is the 30th of Shvat, to be the date for the Bar Mitzvah. I will continue to look for where I found the original source of the first of Nisan, but that was the correction that I wanted to clarify. On the handouts, in my correction, I corrected it incorrectly. So the handouts say Rosh Chodesh, handouts say Aleph Nisan. Sorry, the handouts say Aleph Adar, but it's not. It's the 30th of Shvat, which is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Aleph Nisan is...
For now, I'm going to leave it out. For now, I'm going to leave it out. I'm going to work with the Minchas. Excuse me?
It's still open between us.
It's still open. I would be noted to the Minchas Yitzchak in this case because, I mean, he quotes a whole bunch of tshuvas. I haven't found anything other than the position of the that. So I don't know where I got all of Nisan from. Now, the Yard site is also on the 30th of Shvat, and that makes sense. I mean, that works with the same svara that we've been working all along, which is that the Rosh Chodesh Adar, or the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is the year, right? Which the Chiddush here is that the Bar Mitzvah is also on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. The Bar Mitzvah moves up. See, the problem with Bar Mitzvahs is that you have a Kula and a Chumrah built in. On the one hand, if you make the Bar Mitzvah too early, you count somebody for a minyan, and they daven for the Amid, and they get an aliyah to the Torah. There are all these things that they can do once the Bar Mitzvah, you're doing that too early. On the other hand, if you make the Bar Mitzvah too late, you haven't, as you say, you're postponing the mitzvah, putting on tefillin. So you've got a little bit of a mix of issues there. All right. This scenario, which is the Cheshvan Kislev scenario, this is essentially the same that I described it to you 2 weeks ago, namely that with regards to bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, birthdays, if the event occurred on the 30th of the month, then we assume in the year in which the 30th doesn't exist, then we simply move to Rosh Chodesh. Remember, the 30th of Cheshvan is also Rosh Chodesh Tevet, so if the 30th of Cheshvan doesn't exist, we'll simply wait a day and do the bar mitzvah on the 1st of Kislev. And similarly with Kislev, if the 30th of Kislev doesn't exist, then we will have the bar mitzvah on the 1st of Tevet. The case that had this complicated, convoluted notion of whatever the first year was sets a kviya or a chazaka, that was the case of Yortzeitz with regards to the 30th of Cheshvan, and that was a chiddush of the Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishnah Brura, seems to be the Psak Halacha, except that I found the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, in which Rav Moshe says he doesn't like the idea. He feels that it's incorrect, and that in all cases, the Yortzeit should be Rosh Chodesh. So if the death occurred on the 30th of, let's say, Cheshvan, and in a year that doesn't have the 30th of Cheshvan, then the Yortzeit would be the 1st of Kislev, in all cases. So there seems to be some discrepancy there amongst the poskim, exactly this scenario. We saw this line last week, or 2 weeks ago. I've added this line here because that seems to be the position of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So that's the clarification over the presentation from 2 weeks ago. I hope I have clarified and not confused.
Magen Avraham is like
the Magen Avraham was an Achron. The Magen Avraham is an Achron upon which there are no Sekelim on the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham, the Taz, others as well. Mishnah Brura quotes him often, but there are poskim who paskin differently. When you have the kind of shoulders that Rav Moshe Feinstein had, you can take it upon yourself to differ with the Magen Avraham. Okay, I'm going to leave this topic for now. If you still need clarification, if it's still not clear, then see me afterwards. I would prefer not to revisit it. At this point, we're going to move on to the next issue. This is where we left off in the middle of last session, and we're going to go back to this now. I want to try to understand this as best we can, and this is really the last issue in our series dealing with the question of the kviya. Once we finish the kviya, we finish all the issues related to the structure of the calendar, we move on to Birkas HaChama and Talamot. The problem is very simple. There are more parshiot in the Torah than there are weeks in the year. That's the simple problem. There are between 47 and 48 Shabbatot in a regular year. There are between 50 and 52 Shabbatot in a leap year, because there are 30 extra days in a leap year. The number of Shabbatot is not just a function of the number of weeks, because there are more weeks in the year than that, but the number of available Shabbatot for Torah Parsha reading weeks. There are many Shabbatot in the year that are taken, so to speak, for the readings of the Yom Tovim. We can't use them for the cycle of the Parshiot. And so, from the perspective of how many Parshiot in the week are, how many Shabbatot in the year are available for the reading of the Parshiot, in our cycle, that's what we have, 47 to 48 in a regular year, 50 to 52 in a leap year, and there are 53 Sidrot in the year plus Rizot HaBracha. And if you don't know that chart by heart, this one I mean, then my suggestion is ask the kids in grades, in kindergarten and the nursery, and they'll sing them for you. And they, for everyone, they have a little song, and it's very cute, and they'll teach you the Sidrot of the week. I once, in one of my moments, tested somebody by on the Parshiot of the week by having them recite them backwards from Vezot HaBracha to Breshit. Try that one. Once you learn them forwards, learn them backwards. That's a new challenge. All right. Together? No Parshiot are ever, always together. There are no double Parshiot that are always together. If there was a double Parshiot that was always together, it would be called a single Parshiot.
So, in any given year, there is at least one that is...
No, there are some years where they're all separated.
How come? 53 and the maximum is 52?
We'll see. Because there are years when you don't read all 53 in one year. There are years when you do not read all 53 in one year. Haggai, right? Chaim, explain it to them. No, no, no. Not through Israel.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Because some years, V'hazinu is read after Rosh Hashanah, in which case it's read in next year's cycle and not in last year's cycle. So, so some years, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, we don't read all 53, we only read 52.
But
Simchas Torah to Simchas Torah, we read all of them. That's right. But the year goes Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, not Simchas Torah to Simchas Torah, you see? So some years we don't read all the Parsha. Okay, good. All right, there's the test. Oh, it was one of the famous trivia. A couple of years ago, there was a trivia question going around the internet, you know, what year, what Parsha don't we read this year or something like that. Yeah. Okay, this is the how we get to the number of Shabbatot per year. I showed you this 2 weeks ago. I'm going to do it again. It basically works off the Kviya. So to remind ourselves, the Kviya is a three-digit or three-letter number that tells me the days of the week of the Yom Tovim and whether the Cheshvan Kislev are Malei Chaser or Kesidra. So Kviya of 001 means that Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, Pesach is on Sunday, and the year is 353 days, one day short. That gives us a total of 51 Shabbatot, but it also tells me that since Rosh Hashanah is on a Shabbos, I'm going to lose a Shabbat because of Rosh Hashanah. I am also going to lose a Shabbat because of the first day of Sukkot, which is always the same as the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And I'm also going to lose a Shabbat because of the eighth day of Sukkot, which is the same day as the first day of Sukkot, namely Shemini Atzeret. So in the month of Tishrei, there are three Shabbatot that are Yom Tovim. And therefore I can't read a Sidra on that day. In addition, Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach is going to be, if Pesach is on a Sunday, then the seventh day of Pesach is a Shabbos. And so I lose another Shabbos in the sequence of Sidra available Shabbatot in the month of Nisan, leaving me a total of 47 Shabbatot for Sidra reading. Is that clear? The Kvi of 023 is Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, Pesach on a Tuesday, and I go through the exact same Cheshbon. I have a total of 51 Shabbatot in the year, of which, because it's 355 days, of which three are taken up by the Yom Tovim in the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah being Shabbos again, and I have one Shabbos in the middle of Pesach for Chol HaMoed, which means I lose a parasha available Shabbos there too, leaving me with 47. In Kviya 203, Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday. Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday, that means that I only lose one Shabbos in Tishrei for Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Sukkos. All the other Yom Tovim are weekdays. Makes those for whom, who have workday day jobs difficult, but it makes for Balei Kriya's life a lot easier. The other end of the spectrum is the month of Nisan. Again, Pesach on a Tuesday. The only Shabbos there is Chol HaMoed. I lose only 2 weeks, and I have 48 Sidrot available. The interesting weeks are, interesting Kviyot are these, 225 and 315. In both of those scenarios, Pesach is on a Thursday. Pesach on a Thursday means that Shavuos is on a Friday. Shavuos is on a Friday, then the second day of Shavuos, which only occurs in Chutz Laretz and doesn't occur in Eretz Yisrael, is a Shabbos. So I lose a Shabbos for the Parsha reading in Chutz Laretz, in Eretz Yisrael I don't, and those are the famous years when Eretz Yisrael gets a week ahead of Chutz Laretz vis-a-vis the reading of the Parshiot of the week. Which shouldn't bother anybody, because we went through whole periods of history when Eretz Yisrael was reading a different cycle of Parshiot altogether. So it doesn't bother us that they're in different cycles. It's just a fact. And of course, the last Kviya is basically the same Cheshbon that we had earlier. This chart is the exact same chart for leap years, where the number of days of the year are optionally 383, 84, 85, meaning 54 weeks, and 5 to 7 days, depending on the year type, meaning either 54 or 55 Shabbatot, depending on the number of total days. Again, going through the same Cheshbon, I have either 55 or 54 Shabbatot. I take out the number of Shabbatot from the Yom Tovim. Rosh Hashanah on a Shabbos takes out 3, Pesach on a Tuesday takes out Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. Rosh Hashanah on a Monday will take out 1 for Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Pesach on a Thursday will take out Chol HaMoed Pesach and the second day of Shavuos. In Eretz Yisrael, these three, Eretz Yisrael will be one less. And then the last scenario. So those are the total number of weeks. Is this clear?
Can we set up the number of Parshiot with the calendar?
No, once they had the calendar, I think the calendar was set up before the Parshiot. So remember that the division of Parshiot is a much later development. Up until the time of the Gemara, you had different minhagim for Eretz Yisrael. You had a three-year cycle, and in Bava you had an annual cycle. So it's a much later fit, but they had to fit it into the calendar. So we have today, these things are kviya dependent, whereas they weren't necessarily always. Okay, so here's what we do. We take certain parshiot of the year, and we combine them or separate them accordingly, according to the following set of rules. Number one, since all the variables start with the month of Adar for the most part, we're going to start combining or separating Sidrot only after the month of Adar. No parsha combinations exist before the month of Adar. Well, because they don't need to. The lengthening and shortening of the year starts in Adar. So they don't need to do anything with the Sidrot until that point in time. And then the rule is as follows. For the most part, these four parshiot combine, contract, or expand according to the leap year. If it's a leap year, we're 4 weeks short, we combine them. If it's not a leap year, we are 4 weeks extra, we separate them. For the most part. Yeah. Because they're in the month of Adar. They start in the month of Adar. Right? We're about to read, we are coming up to Vayakob Pekudei. We are in the end of the month of Adar, correct? If this was a leap year, we'd be at the end of Adar Aleph. And we would start expanding into to meet the weeks of Adar Bet. That's exactly how these four correspond to this period of time, from the end of Adar Aleph and beginning of Adar Bet. There's one exception, and the exception is Kviya Heishin Aleph, or 521. In that particular year, there's a specific idiosyncrasy. The idiosyncrasy there is the fact that Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, Simchas Torah is on a Friday, the year is a Shlema, the Shlema pushes Pesach to Sunday, and because Pesach is now on Sunday and Simchas Torah was on Friday, which means we had a Shabbos Brachos right after Simchas Torah, it's the maximum length of space, we end up with an extra Shabbos. 169 days, 24 weeks in a day, that in this particular year type, that day is a Shabbos, there's an extra Shabbos there. And therefore, that one type of leap year, Vayakob Pekudei, of simple year, Vayakob Pekudei are separated even though it's not a leap year. Simple. Not, this isn't rocket science, this is simply how the Kviot work through. No, there's no philosophy here. Okay. It's just practicality. All right. Now we get to philosophy. Tisha B'Av. The philosophy of Tisha B'Av is that Chazal, once they set the calendar in place, once they set the Sidrot in place, the sequence of Sidrot as we have it, they wanted Parshat Devarim to be read before Tisha B'Av. It has to do with the fact that the word Eicha appears in Parshas Devarim. We read it with the trap of Eicha. And so there is a little bit of additional game playing, if you want to call it that, with the Parshiot in order to make sure that Parshat Devarim is always read on Shabbat Chazon. Now to do that, they would combine or contract the combined Parshiot of Chukat Balak and Matot Maaseh in order to work through the sequence so that Tisha B'Av, so that Devarim was always after, or before Tisha B'Av. The way it works is as follows. The number of weeks between Shavuot and Tisha B'Av in total is 62 days, or 8 weeks and 6 days, and they have to take us from Parshiot Naso to Devarim. If you remember, the Atbash Tisha B'Av is always equal to the first day of Pesach. So if we work through the Kviya, and the second day of Pesach is equal to Shavuot. So if we work through the Kviya of these numbers, you'll find, 025 and 205, that Shavuos, if Pesach is a Thursday, then Shavuos is a Friday. And if Pesach is a Thursday, Tisha B'Av is a Thursday. So from Shavuos to Tisha B'Av, I have 8 Shabbatot, but I have 10 Sidrot. So I'll combine Chukas Balak and Matas Maaseh. Whereas in these Kviot, where Shavuos is a Monday and Tisha B'Av is a Sunday, or Wednesday to Tuesday, I have 9 Shabbatot and 10 Sidrot. I only need to combine Matas Maaseh. Chutzlaretz. In this particular scenario, down here, those are years when Rosh Hashanah falls on Thursday, there's an extra week before Pesach, and Naso is read before Shavuos. Normally Bamidbar is read before Shavuos. In these two year types, Naso is read before Shavuos, and therefore I have 9 Sidrot and 9 Shabbatot, and I don't need to combine either one of them. So that's a specific technicality with regards to Tisha B'Av. It doesn't fit into the leap year issue. It has nothing to do with the leap year issue. It has to do with these kviot as to when, how many Shabbatot there are between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. I'll give you the full picture of this in a minute. The last rule is Nitzavim and Vayelech. And this is probably the simplest. Namely, How many Shabbatot are there between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot? If Rosh Hashanah is a Monday and Yom Kippur is Wednesday, then and Sukkot is a Monday, then that means that I have a Shabbos in between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. I have two Shabbatot there. Right? I have a Shabbos in between each one. So I take Nitzavim and Vayelech and I separate them. So Nitzavim is read before, Nitzavim is always read before Rosh Hashanah. Vayelech is read before Yom Kippur. Hazinu is read before Sukkot. And I'm ready for Vizot HaBracha on Simchas Torah. Whereas in a year where Rosh Hashanah is a Thursday and Yom Kippur is Shabbos, I lose that Shabbat, and I have a Shabbat, even though, and I have no Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, I combine Nitzavim Vayelech before Rosh Hashanah, and I read Vizot HaBracha, Ha'azinu, on Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and Shabbos Shuvah. Vizot HaBracha. Similarly here, if Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, Yom Kippur is on Monday, I will read Nitzavim Vayelech before Rosh Hashanah, I will read Ha'azinu on Shabbos Shuvah, there's no Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and I'm ready for Vizot HaBracha. So it all depends on whether there's a Shabbos here. If there's a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, I will read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah, Vayelech in between, Ha'azinu here. If there is no Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, I'll read Nitzavim Vayelech here, Hazinu here, and Simchas Torah here. Okay? Okay, so that's what it looks like. That's a combination of Sidrot in non-leap years and combination of Sidrot in leap years. Simple? Depending on the kviya, again, going back to all the previous discussions, you'd have to work through all the numbers, but depending on the kviya, it tells me exactly how many weeks there are, where there are Shabbatot, what I need, etc. These are the simple years. So in the simple years, Vayakob Akudei, Tazvir Metzora, Achimot Kedoshim, B'hai B'chukotai are always combined with the exception of Heishan Aleph. Correct? Chukat Balak are separated in these years because of the Tisha B'Av rule. And Nitzavim Vayelech are separated here because of the extra Shabbat. And of course, that means that Vayelech will fall after Rosh Hashanah of next year, and those are the years in which Vayelech is never read. Right? The issue is Vayelech, not Ha'azinu, because Ha'azinu is always read beginning of the year. Right, Azinu is always read after Rosh Hashanah. So if you're to ask what's the first parsha of the year that's ever read, it's never Breishit. The first parsha of the year read is always either Vayelech or Azinu. Yeah. But the first parsha of the year is never Breishit. Try that trivia on somebody. In a leap year, of course, the Vayakob Pekudei, these four parshiot coming up, Vayakob Pekudei, Tazvir Metzora, Achamat Kedoshim, B'hai B'chukotai, are all separated. Chukat Balak are combined in order to, because of the Tisha B'Av issue, Matas Masi as well, and then it's Av Mayelech for the Rosh Hashanah issue. You don't have to remember which what. I just, here you see the application of each kviya in terms of the parshiot of the combination of parshiot.
So from all the combinations, only two combinations, Matot Masei, are not combined?
Correct.
Uh-huh. So I was almost right. It's true that there are 1 second for left here. Matot Masei, that one, the second one, happens only once in 45 years.
That I don't know. I'd have to check the stats. It has to do with Hechaf Aleph. How often is Hechaf Aleph? I doubt it. Hechaf Aleph is a... go back to the statistics of how often Hechaf Aleph occurs. I don't have that... Does somebody have the... Do you have the chart from the previous weeks?
17%. Is that when Pesach falls first?
first.
No, no. Hechaf Aleph. No, Hechaf Aleph is a... Somebody have it? I'll tell you in a minute. Well, Hechav Aleph, I'll tell you in a minute.
No, 11% was something else.
Hechav Aleph, I'll tell you in a minute. Hechav Aleph. Whoops. Hey, Chaf Aleph. Where is it? Where am I going? Hey, Chaf Aleph. Where am I? Where are you? Which is a mistake? What I gave you today? Because there is no hey chaf aleph. Hey chet aleph. So 3.6%. Okay. All right. It could be. It could be. Okay. Now, that brings us to this. And here is where we have fun. Did everybody pick up the second handout? Okay. Here's where we have fun. Oh, man. Okay. Chaim, can I trouble you to catch, to just turn the lights on? Or just turn on some of them. What I've given you here is for you to kind of bring it all together. And what I've done is I've gone through this 19-year cycle and tried to pull out as close to this cycle as I could in some... Ooh, slowly, Chaim, slowly. Yes. Yeah, do it slowly. Kima, kima. I've tried to pull out as close to this year's examples as, or this cycle's examples as possible, one sample year of every kviya. And I've given you a photocopy of the famous Feld, I think it's a Feldheim publication, the 200-year calendar. And there's a book that you can buy. I was going to bring it upstairs and I forgot to do it. It's a 200-year calendar. It's a book, I think it's published by Feldheim, and it gives you a page for every year. And if you look at it, you'll see, just to give you an idea of what this thing looks like, that this side is your English or civil calendar, corresponding to, week by week, your Hebrew calendar. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, Adar, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, October, November, December, etc., etc. So you have your English date, your Hebrew date, your days of the week, and your dates. This also tells you every holiday, every Rosh Chodesh, every Parsha combined or separated, and every Haftorah. On one page. It's available in all the bookstores you can go and get, and have a 200-year calendar. Now, the 200-year calendar. I think it's just called the 200-year calendar. It's blue, green, every couple of hundred years they reprint it. You know, now, here's an example, and I'm just going to show you how to read this chart, and I'll use one example to how to read it. This one, this is Gimel Chaf He, or 315. So if you look at it, what does it mean? It means that Gimel means that Rosh Hashanah is Tuesday. There's your Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday. 5 means Pesach is on a Thursday. There's your Pesach on a Thursday. 1 means Cheshvan Kislev are Kisidra, 29:30. There's your Cheshvan Kislev. right? And based on when Rosh Hashanah is, then you just plug the rest of the calendar in. All your variables are fixed. There's not much to do there. The only thing we've added here is your sidra combinations, which according to the rules that we have already looked at. Vayakob, Akudei, Tazria, Metzora, Achramas, Kadoshim, Bahar, Bechukatayr, all combined because it is a simple year. If you look at Adar, you'll see that there's only one Adar. Shavuos is on a Shabbos. Second day Shavuos is on a Shabbos, so this is that year when the Eretz Yisrael and the Chutz La'aretz go out of sync. Chukat Balak, Matas Masay are both combined in order to bring Dvarim to the Shabbos prior to Tisha B'Av, Shabbat Chazon. And Itzavim Vayelech are combined because next year's Rosh Hashanah is going to be on what day of the week? Shabbat. How do I know? Because Pesach this year is on a Thursday. If Pesach is on a Thursday, Rosh Hashanah following will be 2 days later. Atbash, etc. That's it. Once you know the Kviya, there are no more variables. You now have everything there is to know about the calendar. It depends on the year. Some years it's Chukas Balak, some years it's Matas Masay. It depends on this combination. So it depends, that I don't remember exactly how it works. When they catch up, it's one or the other. It depends which. Sometimes it's Chukas Balak, sometimes it's Matas Masay.
I know it's like 4 weeks.
So you mean it's separated then?
Yeah. Yeah, in other words, they'll read that. No, other way around. We will read, they'll read.
No, they combine.
They combine, we separate, because we're a week behind them. So in a year, when this happens, in this case, they will. They separate, we combine, correct. So in this case, it would be either Chukas Balak or Matas Masay, depending, as long as you get Devarim on Chazal. I don't remember how that. Okay? Let's go back to here. This is a sample of every year. So if on the handouts that I've just given you, you'll see the first page is 2021. Why did I go to 2021? Because 001 is not so easy to find. So the closest I found was either behind us or ahead of us. I decided to go ahead of us. And in the year 2021, and there you have your 001. Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, Pesach on Shabbos. Sorry, Pesach on a Sunday. And the year is Chaser. Okay, that's a famous case of Pesach on a... No, that's not famous. That's easy. Pesach on a Sunday is actually fun. Yeah, Erev Pesach, when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. That's the case of Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. And that's the famous case, but that's so rare. When Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, our next one is in... Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. The famous case of Erev Shabbat Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. Right? Pesach on a Sunday. That's the famous case of Pesach on a Sunday. Erev Pesach on Shabbos. The next one is in 2021. Zayin Shin Gimel is 2010. Yeah. Zayin Shin Gimel, you have it here. You can look it up. You can see the... I'm not going to go through this with you. I just wanted you to have a sample of each Kviya type and how the Sidrot work and how the calendar works. Are there any questions on this? How to read this? How to use it? You can go buy it. You can get it online. Have fun. Yeah, today there's all kinds of interesting. You know what I like about this? You see the whole year at once. You can see the whole year at once, and you can def. You can go from page to page. So this I can use on Shabbos. Okay. Okay. Questions. All right. Now let's start to have fun. Chaim, I'm going to trouble you to hit the lights again, if you don't mind. Which brings us to the last piece of our discussion. which is everything we have said up until now has been a focus on the solar lunar character of our calendar. Months by the moon, holidays by the season. Again, months by the moon, holidays by the season. To keep them combined, I need a complex combination of leap years. Adding some complexity for which days of the week certain holidays will fall. And voila, we have a kviya. There is another component to the calendar which has nothing to do with the month and is all based on seasonal phenomena. Solar year phenomenon only. And in halacha, there are in fact two such phenomena that are completely independent of any lunar connection. They are Birkat HaChama, which is once every 28 years, as we're going to find out momentarily, and the beginning of the recitation of Tal Umatar in Chutz La'aretz. Because, of course, we know the Mishnah in Sechet Ta'anit that in Eretz Yisrael they start requesting rain, Tal Umatar Livracha, on the 7th of Cheshvan. And only in Chutz La'aretz do we start at a later date. And I will tell you what that later date is defined as. In fact, it ends up being December 5th or December 6th, depending on the year. And every year I always get the same question. How is it that we would have a date or some halacha that would be dependent upon an English date? The question is based on a misrepresentation. Tal Umatar is not defined as December 5th. It's defined as 60 days after Tkufat Tishrei. But because Tkufat Tishrei is a solar year phenomenon, it's related to the equinox and the solstice, it's going to correspond to the same solar English civil date every year, because it's a purely solar calculation. So these two halachot, Birkat HaChama and Tal Umatar and Chutz La'aretz, specifically address issues or phenomena that are based only on the solar year, and therefore the lunar discussions, the months, are out of out of the picture. So for this, we have to go back to our discussion of the word that we had at the very beginning of our journey. And those of you who are still with us on our journey, which was the definition of the word tkufa. Remember what the definition of the word tkufa was? So the word tkufa. Right. Right. It's a season, or 3 months, or the beginning of the season, or one of the four points in the seasons that define the year that define the seasons, namely the two solstices and the two equinoxes. Must be a better plural word than equinoxes. It must be equini or something. But the real meaning of the word, what does the word itself mean? Tkufa. Turning. Right? Excuse me? I can't hear you. Hakafa. Hakafa. It's a circuit. It's a turning. And it's a moment when the sun turns in its circuit from north-south.
So that was known before the planet?
Yes. Not because it went around the world, but because they knew that the sun migrates north-south. Right? In the winter, it's further north. In the summer, it's further south. So as that process of the sun rising and setting along the horizon turns from one direction to the other, that's called a tkufa. That's where the word comes from. Now, here's the statement of Shmuel which defines our discussion of tkufot. Amar Shmuel. So here we're going to spend a little bit of time understanding what a tkufa is in halacha. you need to understand the word tkufa and the application of tkufa to understand where the Birkas HaChama issue comes in. Amar Shmuel, Ein tkufat nisa nefelet ela be'arba'a rivi'e hayom o b'tchilat hayom o b'tchilat halayla b'chatzi hayom o b'chatzi halayla. Says Shmuel, tkufat nisa, otherwise known as the vernal equinox, which is a fancy way of saying the spring, right, the spring equinox. I don't know why they use these fancy words. The spring equinox occurs only at the beginning of one of the four quarters of the day, either at the beginning of the day or at the beginning of the night or at midday or at midnight. 6 p.m., 12 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m., 12 a.m., 6 a.m., 12 p.m. Starting at 6 p.m. in that order. 6 p.m., 12 a.m., 6 a.m., 12 p.m. Doesn't matter. Certainly not March 21st, but whatever it is, it'll always occur. Whenever it occurs in any given year, it'll always occur at those hours. Why? We'll see. This whole puyis, if you remember our discussion when we talked about Tkufat Shmuel and Tkufat Vavada, we talked about the different length of the solar year. And I mentioned that Shmuel has one calculation for the length of the solar year and Nevada has a different one. This is the Shmuel. So I'll show you what this all means in a moment. I just want to throw out the complexity of his statement and then I will simplify it for you in a moment. Ve'ein tkufat tamuz nofelet ela o be'achatu mechza o be'sheva v'mechza ben bayom ben balayla. The summer solstice occurs only either at the end of 1.5 hours or at the end of 7.5 hours of the day or night. Right. 7:30 or whatever. The autumnal equinox, otherwise known as Tkufat Tishrei, also known as the fall, occurs only at the end of 3 or 9 hours of the day or the night. And the winter solstice occurs only at the end of 4.5 or 10.5 hours of the day or night. Why? Because the duration of a season, or ein ben tkufa l'tkufa, is no other than 91 days and 7.5 hours. What is he talking about? What he's talking about is very simple. How long is a solar year? According to Shmuel, it's a simple equation, 365.25 days. Now, we know that that is inaccurate. It's about 11 minutes off. Rav Ada has about half that discrepancy. Rav Ada's calculation is much more complex, but it's only off by about 7 or 6 minutes. And many poskim say that even Shmuel knew that his calculations were off, but he rounded it off in order to make the calculation simple. So says the number of Rishon. But if I assume for a moment that a year is equal to 365.25 days, then how long is one season? How long is 1/4 of 365.25 days? Well, the answer is the length of each season is 91 days and 7.5 hours. Multiply that by 4 and you will get 365.25. Agreed? Agreed. Now, if Tkufat Nisan of year 1 of creation, when was the world created? What day of the week was the sun and the moon created?
Wednesday.
And assuming that the sun was created at the beginning of the day, which stands to reason, why would God delay? Right? Assuming that the sun, therefore, was created at the beginning of the day, the sun was created at the 4th day of the week at 0 hour. 6 p.m. Of course, in the month of Nisan. And given the fact that each season moves 91 days, 7.5 hours. 91 days, 7.5 hours mod 7. If I want to drop the days of the week, drop the full weeks, is equal to 7.5 hours, because 91 days divides. 91 divided by 7 is divides evenly. Whatever it is, it divides evenly. So in the course of a season, 91 days, 7.5 hours, the seasoned, the movement of the season will be, in terms of days of the week, 7.5 hours. So if my first at creation, if my Tkufat Nisan was a 4-day at 0 hours, of that first year, when will Tkufat Tammuz be? On Wednesday at 1:30 a.m. Agreed? Tkufat Tishrei, again, is 182 days, 15 hours, or another, again, mod 7 is 15 hours. It will be Wednesday at 9 a.m. Tkufat Tevet, Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. Moving 7.5 hours each time. Tkufat Nisan, I've now moved 7.5 hours times 4, which is 1 day, 6 hours. So Tkufat Nisan of year 2 will be Thursday, 12 a.m. Which, by the way, is exactly 1 day, 6 hours past where it started. Agreed? Tkufat Nisan a year later, if I add another day in 6 hours, will be Friday, 6 a.m. Tkufat Nisan a year later, if I add another day in 6 hours, will be Saturday, 12 p.m. And Tkufat Nisan of year 5 will be 5 days later, or Monday at 6 p.m. Clear? Now I can do the same thing. I can play the same game with Tkufat Tammuz. Start at Wednesday, 1:30 a.m. A year later, it will be a day and six hours later. So what's a day and 6 hours after Wednesday, 1:30 p.m.? Right. And so the Tkufat Tammuz will always land on either 1.5 or 7.5 hours of the day. So now I go back to Shmuel's statement. Here you have the annual times of each one of the four seasons of the year. Tkufat Nisan will always be 6 p.m., 12 a.m., 6 p.m., 6 a.m. or 12 p.m. Tkufat Tammuz will always be 1:30 or 7:30 a.m. or p.m. because it's a day and a quarter later each year. Tkufat Tishrei will always be at 9 a.m. or 3 p.m. And Tkufat Tevet will always be at 4:30 or 10:30. Now go back to Shmuel's statement. Shmuel said, Tkufat Nisan will always fall on one of the quarters of the day, either the beginning of the day, 6 p.m., or the middle of the night, 12 a.m., or halfway between, or midday, which is 12 a.m. or 12 p.m. Tkufat Tammuz will always be be'achat u'mechza or shiv'a v'mechza, 1:30 or 7:30 a.m. or p.m. Tkufat Tishrei, shalosh or teisha sha'ot. Tkufat Tevet, arba u'mechza, 4:30 or 10:30. Now that's clear?
Not much of a chiddush.
No. There's no chiddush in here other than a simple mathematical calculation based on the length of the solar year being 365 and a quarter days. This is the simplest math in the calendar you're going to see. And that's, according to many Rishonim, why Shmuel rounded it up to 365 and a quarter, because it makes the math so much simpler. Well, with Ada, who's a contemporary, had a much more accurate calculation. It was 11 minutes off. It's not hard to discover that it was 11 minutes. The Egyptians knew that it was off.
No, 11 minutes after 100 years, it's become like...
It's a whole day. Yeah. Now, when will all of this return to its starting point? In other words, I go back to this chart. Tkufat Nisan... In year 1, it was Wednesday at 6 p.m. In year 2, it was Thursday at 12 a.m. In year 3, it's Friday at 6 a.m. In year 4, it's Sunday at 12 p.m. When will Tkufat Nisan go back to being Wednesday at 6 p.m.? Is that a fair question to ask? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it is. When does it go back to the starting point? Each year, the season shifts by 1 day, 6 hours. How long will it take for the season to return to its exact starting point? In other words, when will the shift be equal to an exact multiple of 7? In simple mathematical terms, what is the least common multiple of 1.25 and 7? The answer is, of course, 28. Bingo. Light bulb. In this case, sun, right? The sun just went off, right? What did I do here? Tropical cycle. Oh, I'm missing a chet. All right. Hamazor agadol. Okay. The shift of the sun in... No. Oh, all right. We're in Missouri, so it works. Shift of sun in relation to the point of creation at Wednesday 6 p.m. And I just did the math. Well, I didn't do the math. I just did a simple, you know, chart. 1.25, 6.25, right? 2.5, 3.755, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 35 is the first multiple of 7. There are 28 boxes in this chart. That's the hard way to do it. The simpler way to do it is to plug it into the equation. And we know that after 28 years, the sun will return to Wednesday 6 p.m. Tkufat Nisan will be Wednesday at 6 p.m., which is the exact starting point of creation. And hence, Birkat HaChama. And that brings us to the story. Tanu Rabbanan, and we're right on time to finish with this. Tanu Rabbanan, HaRo'eh Chama B'Tkufata. If one sees the sun, B'Tkufata. Now, there is an enormous debate over the meaning of the word chama bitkufata. The way we translate it, in order to make this bracha, is when one sees the sun at its turning point, at its tkufa, meaning its original tkufa. And levana begvurata, the moon in its power, vekochavim bemesilutam, and the planets in their orbits, umazalot kesidran, and the constellations in their orderly progress, Omer Baruch Oseh Breshit. He makes a bracha. Now this assumption is, the question is whether these are either or all one phenomenon. Assuming they're all one phenomenon, which is the way we understand la halacha, Eimat Havi, when does that happen? Amar Abaye, Kol Esim Vishmona Shanin, every 28 years. Hadar machzor v'naflat kufat nisan b'shaptai be'urta d'tlat nage arba. The sun returns, tkufat nisan returns to fall on the evening of Tuesday going into Wednesday at exactly 6 p.m. That is Birkat HaChama. And that's how it's paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. Ha'o'eh chama b'tkufata, if you see the moon in its renewal point, mi'chavchet l'chavchet shana, every 28 years. And the tkufa is the beginning of the fourth day, 6 p.m., then you say the bracha. Now, two issues. Number one, the nusach of the bracha. The Gemara, our nusach of the Gemara has Baruch Oseh Breshit. Other Rishonim have the bracha Baruch Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit. And most Sidurim follow the minhag of Oseh Ma'aseh Breshit, which is the same bracha you make on lightning. Number one. Number two, you can't make the bracha at 6 p.m. Why not? Because you have to see the sun. You can't see the sun on Wednesday at 6 p.m. in its initial moment. So, kishroeh ota bayom dalet baboker omer baruch haseh breshit. We wait with the bracha until Wednesday morning, sunrise. So anytime in the early part of the morning after sunrise, within the first 3 hours of the day preferably, we get together and we make this bracha.
You have to say the full bracha.
We say the full bracha. Again, there's a literature here that's enormous over every issue related to the bracha, including do you say Shem and Malchus and all kinds of issues. But yes, Lamaisa, we say it with Shem Hashem. We say the full bracha. We say a whole set of Tehillim and a whole. There's a whole liturgy around it, like there is for Kiddush Levana, but it's essentially at the core of it, like Kiddush Levana, is one bracha. Yeah. I will get to that issue. We'll get to that issue in a moment. Don't jump ahead of me. Yeah. Right. Correct. And therefore, there is a discussion in the halacha as to whether or not they are A, ma'akev, and B, part of the, you know, is it either or is it one phenomenon? So, lemaisa, we work only with the sun. Yeah.
Is
starts at sunset. I don't know how to ask this question. If Tuesday night, if the new day, Yom Rabbi starts at sunset Tuesday night, let's call it, and it's 6 o'clock p.m.,
a 6 p.m. is an arbitrary number, don't forget, because we work with 6 p.m. when we deal with calendars. When we deal with halachic times of day, we work with sunrise and sunset. But since sunrise and sunset changes per day, all calendar math assumes just an arbitrary 6 p.m. To 6 p.m. day.
So the sun was created after it was already dark.
Right.
So
what difference would that make? Sun and moon were created equal.
But somewhere it was light. It was created in the evening. So wouldn't it make more sense to say the sun was created at 6 a.m. than 6 p.m.?
Well, if you're 180 degrees from Yerushalayim, but the world was created from Yerushalayim, so everything works from the vantage point of Jerusalem time, remember?
Right, but if it's evening and the sun is created at sunset,
right,
somewhere it's Yom Rabbi.
Right.
And if
but vayhi erev vayivoker from the vantage point of
Yerushalayim. So in Yerushalayim it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
The sun was created, so somewhere else you could see it.
Mm-hmm. Sun and the moon, which are of equal size.
What?
When they were created of equal size. Yes. Yes.
That's true. Hence, in the Makkeh, we're not going to know all the things, but I'm not quite clear on how you deal with Tkufat Shmuel and the other two folks are more accurate. So this may be off.
This is all according to Tkufat Shmuel.
So we're just assuming the inaccuracy.
Correct. We paskin for the purpose, and here's one of the discrepancies, one of the great ironies of the calendar. There are a few. One of them, Chaim tried to jump ahead of us on, and that's the question of when the world was created, but we'll come back to it. But you're right. For the purpose of the 19-year leap year cycle, I indicated in an earlier session that we paskin like Tkufat Vavada. But for the purpose of Birkas Achama and Talumata, by the way, we paskin like Tkufat Shmuel. And they are completely different. They come up with different numbers and different days. Which, by the way, is an answer to one of the great anomalies of Birkas HaChama. The years in which Birkas HaChama falls after Pesach. There are years when Birkas HaChama will fall after Pesach. Right? Now you no, because Birkas HaChama is always April 8th or sometime around then or later. So Pesach will be at the beginning of April. Ask me the obvious question. Birkas HaChama is defined, by definition, as Tkufat Nisan at the beginning of Wednesday, 6 p.m. How can Pesach fall before Tkufat Nisan? Right? Tkufat Nisan is the beginning of spring. How can Pesach fall before the beginning of the spring? What's the answer? Because HaChama is working off Tkufat Shmuel's calculation, and Pesach is working off Tkufat Rav Adda's calculation, and they are off by quite a number of days. They lose; they differ by a day every 200 years.
And that discrepancy is only getting bigger.
Right, but we don't care, because we paskin like Shmuel only for the purpose of Birkas HaChama and Tkufat Shmuel and Talumata. We paskin like Rav Adda for Pesach. That's the power of the halachic universe.
Now, is it shifted?
It does not have to reflect reality.
Is it shifted like Talumata?
Yeah, exactly the same shift as Talumata. Exactly, it's the same issue. It's the same phenomenon.
So like 100 years ago, it was 7. So
correct. Correct. And these are the dates of Birkas HaChama. So here's your dates of Birkas HaChama in the 20th century. April 8th, 1925, April 8th, 1953, April 8th, 1981 was the last one. Anybody here remember that? Right. In the 21st century, we have April 8th, 2009, 2037, 2065, 2093. In the 22nd century, we will jump to April 9th for reasons we will yet to explain. we will get there, etc., in the 23rd century. Now, what's interesting is the dates, the Hebrew dates. This year it's the 14th of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach. Much to-do has been made about the fact that Birkas HaChama falls on Erev Pesach. I think there is zero significance to the fact that it falls on Erev Pesach. It fell on Erev Pesach in 1925. It's April 8th. Well, first statistically, April 8th will be an Erev Pesach. Well, that's when it will be. In 2000 and in 2289.
What time it fell on Adar?
Yeah, it can. It's got nothing to do with the Hebrew date. It has to do with the solar calendar. In 2205, actually, let's look at 21. Here's a good one. Here's a good example. 1953, 23rd of Nisan. 23rd of Nisan is after Pesach. Mm-hmm. Right, next one, 2037. 23rd of Nisan. It's going to happen after Pesach. That's just the way it is. You say it on Yontif. Just a bracha. Okay. We have... We run out of time. Let me just... All right. Let me just tell you this story. This story is really just an interesting anomaly. In 1925... the last time Birkas HaChama coincided with Erev Pesach, there was a report that such occurrence was considered purporting the coming of Mashiach. It had some kind of messianic significance to it, having only occurred twice in history, the year of the Exodus and Purim. Such was the report. It was reported in Hamodiah, it was reported in the newspapers, in the name of a great Hasidic Rebbe. The facts are not in a concurrence with that statement on two levels. Number one, the fixed calendar started in the 4th century. Prior to that, the dynamic calendar made all assumptions impossible. But what would it look like had we perpetuated our calendar today backwards to the point of creation? Just hypothetically, it would have looked like this, that the civil dates of Birkas HaChama on Erev Pesach between creation and 6049, in other words, in all the 6,000 years of creation, if we assumed the present calendar that we have forever, backwards and forwards, it would have fallen on Erev Pesach in the following years. The Jewish day 1821, which is the biblical, 1940 BCE, 1856 BCE, etc., etc. You can work through all the dates. Notice how it's always March 26th up until somewhere between the 14th century and the 20th century? Correct. Because that's when they changed the calendar from the Gregorian calendar to the from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. Exactly right. And then it shifted to... Then there was no shift because it was exactly the same as the Julian calendar. That's why it was always March 26th. Conclusion, neither 2448, which is the year of Yetziat Mitzrayim, nor 3404, which is the year of Purim, are on this list. And the convergence seems to be completely insignificant. Okay, since much was said about that, I thought it was important to include. Where we are going next. We have finished for tonight. Next week is our last session. And we will begin next week's session with the following question. It has been taught, Rabbi Eliezer said the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Yeshua said the world was created in Nisan. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer omer b'Tishrei nivra olam, Rabbi Yeshua omer b'Nisan nivra olam. We have a major machloket in the halacha as to when the world was created. Was the world created in Nisan, or was the world created in Tishrei? Give me the answer to that question. La halacha, how do we paskin? Was the world created in Nisan or was the world created in Tishrei? Every Rosh Hashanah, you are going to stand in shul and you are going to sing a song that says, Hayom Harat Olam. or you are going to recite the declaration, Ze Ayom Tchilat Ma'asecha Zikaron Liyom Rishon. This day is the first of your creation. Which means that we assume, of course, that the world was created in Tishrei. But I just finished telling you that Birkas HaChama is Wednesday, 6 p.m., because Tkufat Nisan, in the first moment of creation, the world was created on a Wednesday in the year 0, or year 1, and this year is a Birkas HaChama year because we work off the assumption that we are a multiple of 28 years from that moment of creation, assuming, of course, the world was created in the month of Nisan. So we have a discrepancy in the halacha as to when the world was created. Birkas HaChama assumes the world was created in Nisan. Rosh Hashanah assumes the world was created in Tishrei. Can't both be right, can they? Next week. Enjoy.